like the whole elevated part. I do like being taller, though, when I'm up there. But plus, I have more room to walk around up here without probably having the chance of making myself look like an idiot up there and tripping over something. Figured I'd just come down here. It's a little safer. But this morning, I want to talk to you guys about a message that I adapted from a book I've read a few years back called The Christian Atheist, Believing in God, but Living as If He Doesn't Exist. It's by Craig Groeschel. If you want to check it out, great book. A few of the things that he covers, I'm just going to touch base on three this morning, are the ones that I feel like I deal with the most, or struggle with the most in my life. But a few of them is when you believe in God but don't really know Him, when you believe in God but are ashamed of your past, when you believe in God but aren't sure He loves you, when you believe in God but not in prayer, when you believe in God but don't think He's fair, when you believe in God but won't forgive, when you believe in God but don't think you can change, when you believe in God but still worry all the time, when you believe in God but pursue happiness at any cost, when you believe in God but trust more in money, when you believe in God but don't share your faith, when you believe in God but not in this church. So the book is really good. If any of those things sound like something that you struggle with, definitely check it out. Great read. I highly encourage you guys to check that out. But like I said, I'm going to share with you, so I'm on level ground with you guys, three of the ones I believe that I've struggled with the most. And some of those, maybe even a little today, but not as much. God is still shaping and molding me and forming me to be the godly man that He has called me to be. So I'm going to share those with you this morning. So, Christian atheist, believing in God but living as if He doesn't exist. So let me ask you the question, do you think you could, I believe we all can say this at one point in life, that we kind of put God on the side and think, hey, I can handle this. The greatest picture that I see of this is in my daughter, is when she's trying to do something, either it's put something together or beat some game or something, and she's struggling with it. I'm like, here, let me help you. No, I can do it. I want to do it. Or let me do it. That, you know, that childish type attitude, mentality. Even though she's wanting to do it on her own, that's great. Independence. Good, glad for you. But I think sometimes we are like that to God. A child who wants to do everything on our own at times. Or when there's something that we definitely should let Him take control of, or say, when He says, hey, let me help you with that, our response shouldn't be, no, I want to do it. I can do it. So I really see that a lot, that picture, is so more clearly when I became a father, as He is our Heavenly Father, and we are His children. That really opened my eyes when I became that, and I see that in my daughter. Just a note, we went to our first movie yesterday. Really awesome. I actually have a movie buddy now, and she's a little over three, and that she actually sit through the whole thing. That was one thing I was concerned about. Like, I really want to see this movie and all the way from beginning to end, even after all the credits are scrolled down, and there's always an extra scene because it's a Marvel movie. And she was a trooper. She really did. I got her a drink, fruit punch, to keep her energized. Some Raisin Nuts, keep her distracted when she's maybe thinking of wanting to leave or do, you know, something like that. But she made it all the way through the last 40 minutes. She wanted to sit with me, but, you know, that's cool. So we made it through first movie experience. It was cool. And we get in the theater, you know, it's a huge thing. She used to see this little 42-inch TV. That may be big to some of you guys. I don't know what y'all got, but to her, she sees this huge theater. She's like looking around. She's like, this is awesome. It's like, yes, it is. All right, so back to the thing. So number one, I'm going to share with you three that I believe that I struggle with as I was growing up and here and there sometimes as well. I believe at one point we're all recovering Christian atheists. So let's just go with that. Number one, Christian atheists believe in God but still worry all the time. Christian atheists believe in God but still worry all the time. Now, our main text that we're going to be in this morning is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Just let you guys know, this is going to be short and to the point. But sometimes when I say that, it's not. But I only have one page of notes. I'm going to roll with that and see if we can do it. All right. So Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for neither sow nor weep nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to the stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let me reread that. I left out a very important word. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let us pray. Dear Father, Lord, just come before your throne of grace this morning. Lord, I just thank you for the day that you've given us. Lord, I just ask that you speak to us loudly, boldly, and clearly through your word this morning. In whatever areas of our life that we're struggling with, that we would just hear your word, your Holy Spirit, as it just beckons to us this morning to surrender those things. I just ask that we would respond to your Holy Spirit this morning, that we respond to your word, that we would be faithful and obedient to it. And Lord, I just ask that you just use me this morning. I'm just some short guy that's balding. So I just ask that you speak through me as a vessel, that I just reflect you. And I just thank you for how you're going to bless us this morning through your word, how you're going to challenge us this morning through your word, and how you will change us this morning through your word. Ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So our main text here, Jesus is telling us not to worry. So not worry. He wants to emphasize that so much that he says it three different times in the text. Do not worry. How much did you worry? Anyone worry any in here? Anyone ever worry? All right. The most I probably worried was when I became a father. I was like, oh my goodness, what did I do? But being a father is definitely a blessing. I think sometimes we need to take worry, because if you go back to where we get our word worry, from the old High German language or Dutch, wurgen, and it means to strangle or choke. And I think worry does that to a lot of us. There's some of us have been probably sleepless nights laying in bed worrying about something. If something sometimes we don't have control over, yet we lay there and worry. Now Jesus even tells us that it doesn't even add to our life. So what's the point? If anything, it takes away from our life as we worry, as we stress, because it's not healthy for us to worry. Let me tell you, worry is not your friend. Worry is not your friend. In the book, Craig talks about how he's fearful of snakes just as much as Indiana Jones. If you've ever seen Indiana Jones, he's fearful of snakes. There's that train and all that he falls into. But, and then he goes on to say how it's funny that Satan deceived man as a snake, as a serpent. But there was one time in their backyard they're having the cookout, and Craig goes on to say that one of his sons is back there jumping around hollering like, "Look, Daddy, my friend, my friend, my friend." And they live in a heavily wooded area. And he walks over to see what his son is talking about. Like, "Your friend, I don't see anyone around. What are you talking about?" So he walks over to where his son's at. And his son's right there staring at, jumping up and down in front of this rattlesnake. "Son," he says, "that's not your friend." Then he goes on to say that he took a shovel, cut its head off, and stomped his head. He says, "Any good snake is a dead snake." But the point that he's getting across in the book is that we sometimes think of worry as our friend, that we rely on it, that we hold it close to ourselves when it's poisonous, hazardous to us. And we are so blind to that. Because sometimes worry, if you worry enough, it turns to fear. And we are not given a spirit of fear as Christians. And the opposite of fear is faith. We must be faithful to God and trusting in Him and not to worry. Philippians 4:6. You don't have to turn there. Paul writes this: "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done." You ever heard that saying, "Don't worry, be happy"? Today I want to change that. Because the next point, if I get to it, which I should, is that Christian atheists believe in God but pursue happiness at all costs. And sometimes God doesn't want you to be happy if that happiness is causing you to sin. Because a lot of us seek this happiness and it's sinful in our lives. But anyway, I want to change that to "don't worry, but pray." Instead of "don't worry, be happy," because sometimes we go out and do things that make us happy because we're worrying, but there are things that are sinful. So I want to change that to "don't worry, but pray." As Paul tells us here, "don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done." How much do we do as that as Christians? Instead of laying in bed at night worrying about something, how many of us are there laying in bed and praying about that one thing? Praying that God will help the need. Help us with the struggle. Maybe we got news of a health issue. But how often do we just lay there and worry, not even think to bring it to His attention? But we just worry, we say to ourselves, "How am I going to get through this? How am I going to fix this?" We keep using the word "I" when it should be "Him." Paul always writes, I love how he writes, because he gives us this one part in 6. Then in 7, he tells us, hey, if you do this, if you don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything, tell God what you need, and thank Him for all He has done. And then in 7, he says, then, the transition part, tells you what you should do. Now he's going to show us, if you do that, this is what will happen. 7, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I could tell you one thing, experiencing God's peace is like nothing else. There's been some dark times in my life, and there was one particularly dark time that I didn't know what I was going to do, or how I was going to be able to move forward past this dark time. But I did as the Word instructed. I followed God's Word, and I prayed about it. And I tell you to this day, the very next morning when I awoken, I was refreshed and at peace with the situation. And I was able to take that next step and move forward in my life. Because God gave me that peace. Because I no longer carried that burden. I gave it to Him. And He took care of it. And that's the point, guys. We need to give those things that we worry about over to Him. Let Him take the burden. He can handle it. He can handle it a lot better than we can. So in Philippians 4:7, when you experience God's peace, this is how we develop freedom from worry. Because He says, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Now, I couldn't understand how I had that peace. I know where it came from. But I didn't understand it completely. Like, I know it wasn't of myself. Because if it wasn't myself, I would not have that peace. I would have still been bitter and angry about it. It says, His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So two steps for this worry issue. Do what's wise and to think on the right things. We need to do what's wise and to think on the wise thing. To do what's wise and to think on the right things. So, for instance, if, like he talks about in the book, he has a friend that doesn't have a job. His friend tells him, hey, God's going to give me a job. He's like, oh, that's awesome. Do you got a resume? Have you been networking? Have you been going out looking for jobs? His friend's like, nope. God's going to give me a job. Then he has another friend who is single and wanting to get married. He's like, oh, yeah? Well, what have you been doing? Have you been going out to appropriate places to find someone of the like faith? What have you been doing to meet other girls to find that one? His friend's like, nothing. He's just going to bring her right to my door. And his friend's like, all right, Mr. Lucky, good luck with that. But the point he's getting across is something. God gives us responsibility of our own and then to live it out in faith. Not for us just to be lazy Christians to sit around. We do have to do some. And whatever we can't do, God will do the rest. Right? So he tells us in the book that, hey, go out. Those who are needing a job, iron a shirt, get a resume, network, and just pray to God that God will lead you in the right place to get that job, that He'll give you a job. And then those who are looking to get married, He tells them that, hey, get a shower, brush your teeth, use mouthwash, and then go and look for the one of like faith. That's some good advice. Those are wise decisions, and to think on the right things. If we continue to think on the negative things, you know, Paul tells us to think on things that are noble, that are right in the Scriptures. That's what we must do. If we always are so negative, a bunch of Eeyore Christians, we're never going to go get anywhere further in our faith or furthering the kingdom that way. So we need to do what's wise and to think on the right things. And no matter what, trust God. When it comes to worry or situations or circumstances, no matter what, we need to trust God. Whatever God tells us to do or what not to do, we need to trust Him. Now, I found out a long time ago that... God knows what he's doing. He knows what's best more than I do. One point in my life, you know, I thought I knew it all. When I came to that one point, I looked at myself, and I can look at myself now back then, and I can say I was the biggest idiot in the world in a lot of things, decisions that I made, choices that I made. And it's kind of like, why did I do that? And sometimes I just laugh at myself when I think back. But I'm thankful for what God has done and how he's taken me so far to this point of where I'm at today. And there's been some times where no matter what, I had to trust God. So we all should be trusting God no matter what, when he tells us what to do and what not to do. Because these few questions I want to ask you guys. Who do we believe in more, ourselves or God? Because our actions and decisions will reflect that. So who do you believe in more, yourself or God? When certain situations or circumstances come into your life or storms, who do you go to first? Who do you talk to first about it? Don't worry, but pray. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And there is a future and a hope for us. In this life, it may not seem that way. There's many things that we face that are painful and hurtful, persecution, even death here. But there is a future and hope in Christ Jesus in heaven. To look forward to that, just to make it through here. And as we make it through this life, as we're just passing by, to tell as many people as Christ, to tell many people about Christ as we can, so they can know the hope and future that is in heaven in Christ Jesus and what he's done for us. All right, as we move along, number two. Christian atheists believe in God but pursue happiness at all costs. Many believe that better possessions, peaceful circumstances, thrilling experiences, right relationships, and perfect appearances equal happiness. But do we really know what happiness is? Does those things that I just read equal happiness? True happiness? Or can there be some things within that doesn't bring happiness, or will be happiness, but then it turns against us? Better possessions. Let's look at that one. Now, I, growing up, didn't have very much. So when I got my job, my first job, and, you know, I was getting money. I was an idiot when it came to money and spending money, how to save. I just wanted to buy things. I wanted stuff. I have money now. I can spend it. I can get stuff. So it wasn't very good decisions on my part when it came to possessions. Or better possessions, always wanting something better, getting the next best thing. As Samson says, the next best thing's here. I heard the iPhone. Sorry, those who has iPhones. Better possessions. We feel like, hey, if I get something better, a newer car, a newer phone, a newer house, anything with new in front of it, that things will be better. Eventually, new things always get old. And we always have that part of us that always wants needs to be satisfying and satisfying. Peaceful circumstances, thrilling experiences, right relationships, and perfect appearances equal happiness. Which we could go through all these, which we definitely don't have time to do that. Especially with me going through them. But they all don't equal happiness. But this does. Matthew 6:33, my life verse, is that we should seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So my point of life is that God only brings true happiness, not the things of this world. He may bless us with things of this world, but our happiness is not found in those things. It is found in God and what He has done for us on the cross. That's happiness. That can bring us joy. That can bring us assurance. And we go out and get all these insurances for our car and our house and ourselves. But do we have life assurance, which is only found in Christ? So happiness is not the point of life. We were not put here to be just to be happy. Because true happiness only comes from God. So for us to do that, we need to seek first the kingdom of God. Not our own kingdoms as we build our many empires here, but to build His kingdom. And what are we doing within our life, with how busy we are with our jobs, with our families? What are we doing to further His kingdom? What are we doing as Christians to reflect Christ every single day? If we're worrying all the time about how we're going to sustain all those possessions, our job, our family, of how we're going to do it, we can't really be furthering His kingdom too well, because we're going to be so distracted with the things of this world. And that's something Satan wants. It's for us to be distracted. Because when we're distracted from furthering God's kingdom, then our focus is on His kingdom and on ours, then He's doing His job very well. Because we're not working for God, we're working for ourselves. We're not telling people about Christ. We're not reflecting Christ in our lives. Our life is nothing but the American dream. And some of these things are good and well, but when they overshadow God and His purpose for our life, then it's an issue. And lastly, number three, Christian atheists believe in God but trust more in money. Christian atheists believe in God but trust more in money. So is it in God or is it in money do we trust? In money we trust. You know, Luke 12:34 tells us this. Wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be. Wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be. So where's your treasure at this morning? What do you seek most? Where do you invest your time the most? Who did you invest your time in the most? What do you invest your time in the most? What is your treasure? Is it God? Is it Christ? Now, if we were to break down our time of each day, of each week, of the whole year, how much is that given to God? Or if we even compared how much we pray to how much we worry, which one would be greater? So he says, wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be. Because wherever your desire of your heart will be, that's where you're going to invest your most time. That's what you're going to focus on the most. That's what you're going to build upon the most. Like the students, I tell them, you guys are so focused on relationships here, earthly relationships, that you give no time to your spiritual relationship, your relationship with Christ, because you're so focused on getting to know that person. And we do not spend enough time getting to know God. Yes, we know who he is, what he's done for us, that he wrote a book for us, 66 love letters to us. But how much time do we spend reading these love letters to us compared to texts, emails, letters back in the day? I used to get those in the mail. I know a lot of you guys still remember that. A lot of the students back there, that's not something they remember too well. But how much time do we invest in God? Because he invests all in us. He was all in with us. To the point that he invested 33 years here. 6 hours on a cross. Being tortured, tormented, dying. All for us. Because his treasure was us. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are the masterpiece of God, of creation. We're his greatest work of all creation. As a painter has his greatest work, as they would say, this is my masterpiece. Of all the things I've created, of all the things I've painted, this is my best. This is what I love the most. That's what God thinks about us. Of all creation. He's created a lot of great things, a lot of awesome things. But we're the only thing he created in his image. And he loved us the most. He didn't come to die for animals, trees, but for people. Because he loves us, because we're his treasure and that's where his desire is. No one can serve two masters. Luke 16:13. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. When is enough enough? And Jesus is telling us that it's going to come to a point where in your life it's going to be me, or the greed, or the materialism. Which one's going to be? Which one are you going to choose? Is it him, or is it the things of this world? Because we can't serve two masters. We can't be totally devoted to one and the other. It's only one. So a lot of times we put our trust more in God, more in money, because we feel like if we have more money, life will get better. We won't have to worry if I have more money. That I'll be happy when I have more money. They had the show on TV, people who won the lottery, and then it shows what happens to them after they won the lottery. A lot of times our life is like destroyed afterwards because they didn't spend their money wisely. They made bad decisions. And you got a lot of these NFL football players, a lot of sports stars who gets all this money. They waste it because they don't make wise decisions and think on the right things. So when it comes to money, we need to trust in God and be thankful for what he's blessed us with. And there's a cycle to it. It's what he gives us, how we handle it, and then what we give back. joyful sacrificial giving. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give half-heartedly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So that we can do that with our money, how we give sacrificially and joyfully and cheerfully, and our time. Because those are the two things I think we focus on a lot in our life, how much money we got and our time, and how we invest those things and what we invest those things in. So make sure we're doing that joyfully and sacrificially and in the right areas. So as I close this morning, I just challenge you guys to do this. Put God first in your life and love your neighbor as yourself, and you will have no room for idols, false gods, or false teachings. You will be a recovering atheist. So as every head is bowed, every eye is closed, as Michael comes, I just want to challenge you guys here this morning. I'm sure it's a lot of scripture you've read before, things that you probably already knew. But is it something that you've read and already knew? Is it something have you already applied? Are you living it out? I'm sure I probably didn't teach anything new today. But are you obedient to what has been said this morning? What God has told us in the scripture? Are you struggling with worry? Are you dealing with that? Do you lay at night worrying about something that sometimes you don't even have control over the situation? There's nothing that you can do. Yet you continue to worry about it and try to figure out what you can do. Don't worry, but pray. Pray to God who can do something about it. Because I think a lot of times he puts us through something not to see how much faith we have, because he already knows, but for us to see how much faith we have. A lot of times those tests and trials are more for our benefit than his. So don't worry. Pray. Then you will experience God's peace. Pray about everything and anything. So I tell the students, pray about the littlest detail in your life to the biggest detail. God wants to hear about it. Doesn't matter how stupid it may seem to you, it's important to him because you're important to him. So if you're here this morning and you're dealing with worry, or maybe you're going through something and you're just worrying about it, I would just tell you, give it to God. And receive this peace. And allow him to work through that. And whatever it is he tells you, what to do and not to do, wherever the outcome is, trust him always. No matter what. And if you're dealing with pursuing happiness at any cost, that life is nothing but about what you can get and have in this life, because scripture tells us, what is it for a man to gain the whole world but to lose his soul? What we ought to do is seek first his kingdom. Then all things will be given to us that we need. We confuse wants with needs a lot. Maybe you're dealing with the money issue. You trust more in money, yourself, than you do God. You believe that more money I have, it'll bring more happiness, or it'll take the worry away. Which we see that's not true. That's a deceitful lie from the world. Now all that Satan is doing is distracting us as Christians so that we won't do what God has called us and commanded us to do. So if any of those areas in your life, if that's you, I just ask that you just take it to God. Give it to Him. So let me just pray for you guys this morning. And if any of you have a decision to make, feel free to come talk to me. I won't drag this out any longer than it needs to be. And if that decision is either to join the church, to make Christ as your Lord and Savior, or to give something over to Him, do it. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, has come to you this morning. And Lord, I just ask that however you have spoken to each and every one of us this morning, through as simple as this was, and sometimes we don't need to add to the scriptures of what it means because it speaks clearly enough for us to understand what we should do. But we decide not to. All the scripture this morning was pretty clear of what we should do. You told us not to worry, to seek your kingdom first, not ours, and to trust you, to serve you, and not greed materialism or money. That's pretty clear. And Lord, if we're dealing with any of those issues, anyone here today, I ask that you just help us with that. That we wouldn't be childish and say that to you that I can fix it, or no, you can't fix this. I want to do it. But we would just hand it to you and say, please fix this. Help me with this. Get me through this. And then we would be faithful, obedient to you. Ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, Sunday school is next, so I hope you guys are plugged in. Sunday school.